Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show.
I suppose the first thing I wanted to get to is because there's new regulations, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes in relation to gambling. I wanted to get around to, you know, gambling in general and talk about, I suppose, the fact that so many people are affected by what is probably one of the worst addictions you can have. You know, you've got alcoholism, you've got drug addiction, you've got smoking. And we talked about retail addiction last week for women as well. But gambling is an addiction that affects so many people because Ireland spends 9 billion. Irish people spend 9 billion. The Irish spend on gambling less than only two countries in the world per capita. That means we spend more than the Americans. We spend more than every other country, by the way, around the world, apart from Australia and Singapore, per head of population. 9 billion goes on gambling. Online gambling represents 60% of that. Betting and sports betting, 15% of that. The lottery, 10%. Gambling machines and slots, 10%. That's pretty small. And casinos, 5%, because they're not really illegal in this country anyway. Well, there is some small ones, right? But online gambling is the biggest problem. And as a nation, we gambled an estimated $9.8 billion in 2019. That's an estimated €379 per head of population. In 2019, gamblers were losing around $1.3 billion. We spent $808 million on lottery draws and scratch cards. So there's new legislation which has been put forward by Paul McAuliffe, which should come into play next year, the Gambling Regulation Bill, which has been approved by government. And the new Gambling Regulatory Authority will enforce new advertising and sponsorship rules across all media and will overhaul the licensing laws for gambling in the gambling industry. Hopefully I'll get to speak to Paul in a few minutes. But the government plans to have the new authority established and operational next year. And the Minister for State, James Brown, said advertising aimed at children and our problem gamblers will be banned. Betting on credit cards, the placing of ATMs in certain areas and other gambling inducements will also be prohibited. Those operating without a gambling licence could also face a prison sentence of up to 8 years. And there will be a social impact fund for the purposes of financing research supporting treatment for gambling problems. In other words, those responsible, of course, will have to pay a levy towards setting up a fund to help people for treatment with gambling. Now, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin said the new legislation will safeguard against truly awful gambling addictions, which can be devastating to people and families. And I know, listening today, there are people, and we had a guy on the air going back about 3 years ago, and not only did he just gamble his wages, but he gambled his house away under his family's nose. And he was left with nothing. And I mean nothing. Because remember this rule, you're not going to win. It's extremely rare that you will win. Gambling companies are there to make profits. They're not there to give away money. We give it away every now and again, but whatever you get, you're probably going to gamble back. Same goes for the National Lottery and the Euro Millions. To be the winner on the Euro Millions, you have a 1 in probably in and around 37 million chance of winning. If I said to you there's a horse running tomorrow and the odds are 37 million to 1, would you put a bet on? You probably wouldn't. Or maybe you would chance your arm. But look, it's good to be in. They say if you're not in, you can't win. And, you know, it's good to be in every now and again if you can afford it and you're not addicted to it. But people are addicted. So if you're listening today and you have advice for people who've been gambling, maybe you've been down that road and you've gambled your life away or gambled your salary away, what advice would you have for people? And what more can we do to stop it? What more can we do? The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. The question quite simply is, what more can we do? I'm going to go to John first, if I can. John, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, John?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
John, I mean, do you believe we should be doing a bit more in relation to gambling?
Look, I was on with yourself 6 or 8 months ago, I have said it before, we have to do a lot more work in terms of education and awareness of if it is a disease. And as you said yourself, it is. I've been through it. I'm 11 years in recovery now.
Oh, you've dropped your phone. Sorry,
go ahead. You lost me there. I'm 11 years in recovery now, and it's a horrific addiction to have and a horrific disease. And
have you ever calculated how much money you spent in the time you were gambling?
No. Like, it's not really worth. It's not really worth thinking about at the end of the day. Like, even when you're in the midst of like compulsive gambling,
yeah,
it doesn't matter really. Money isn't actually on your mind, and as you said there, it doesn't matter if you win because you never win. It's all about the rush, and like it's not worth thinking about the money. Like once you stop, like happy.
Do you think this new legislation and regulations prohibiting advertising between 5:30 a.m. and 9 p.m. as well as other parts of the legislation, which I'll go to in a few minutes with Paul O'Callaghan, who's the Fianna Fáil TD, but do you think they go far enough?
I think they're a great start. I think they're a great start. It's about time. Like, as I said, I'm 34. I stopped gambling 11 years ago. And, you know, the effects of this legislation isn't going to be seen, you know, next year or the year after. It's going to be seen for the next generation. And that's good because, you know, even the things like kids being prohibited from betting premises. I remember skipping school and being in a bookies and being allowed to be in the bookies betting when I was 13 or 14. So, like, you're going to see the knock-on effects where gambling isn't normalised anymore. And that's where I think, like, there's so much that's come out of the legislation, like the levy fund to create awareness and education. I think that's what I said when I was on with you previously. That's where a lot of work needs to be done. And
this is the social impact fund, yeah.
Yeah, the social impact fund, like, that's where a lot of the work has to be done, because I remember when I, you know, spoke to my family and said, I'm in deep trouble here, like, and, you know, the day I stopped gambling, and they didn't know what to do. And I was like, at the bottom of the barrel, I was at my rock bottom, and I was of no use to anyone, because I would have lied and said anything, but I told them I had a problem, but they didn't know where to turn. And I remember at the time I going to an addiction counsellor who actually gave me terrible advice and wasn't qualified to give me advice. And even in my darkest day, I was able to turn around and get back into the car with my father and go, what that man just told me to do there is completely wrong. He told me I was working as a poker dealer at the time, and he told me if that's to pay off my debts, to continue doing that. And like, so like, that fund will allow more education.
Yeah,
more funding for people who, you know, I always say, like, it's very hard to understand addiction if you haven't been through it, because
yeah, walk a mile in my shoes. I get it. Yeah,
because the things that addicts do, you know, to a normal person seem insane. So an addict can firsthand be able to turn around and go, well, this is what you should and shouldn't do, and it, you know, all comes down to people, place, and things. I think the legislation, genuinely, I was over the moon to see it yesterday. It's long overdue.
Okay.
It's long overdue from my point of view.
Okay, listen, John, thank you very much indeed. And I do want to go, if you want to have a listen too, John, you can. You're welcome to. Paul McCall of the Fianna Fáil TD. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you? I'm very pleased to be with you.
Paul, you've listened to John there, who obviously had a gambling addiction. Thankfully, he's got through the other side. But, you know, he's delighted to see this piece of legislation. It's very welcome. Obviously, we'd all like to see more legislation around gambling because it's such a big problem. And I was shocked to see this morning that Irish people spend on gambling less than only other two other countries in the world per capita, which is Osborne, 9.8 billion. That's an incredible amount of money we gamble.
It is. And look, I think at the outset of the conversation, what we should say is that gambling is something where consenting adults can participate in, where they can have fun, where they can enjoy it. But what this legislation is aimed at is for those people who are not consenting, those people who are children who are being induced into the industry, those people with an addiction who don't have the ability to consent because of their addiction. And I think that We need to ensure that there'll be a lot of people who will criticise some of the measures in this, but this is about tackling people who are vulnerable and people who need protection.
Let's go through the measures then. Okay, the first one most of us know about, which is the advertising between 5:30 and 9 p.m. Now, how do we tackle the advertising, say, from a point of view is, well, a couple of questions. Does the National Lottery come under that advertising legislation?
I suppose we will see the details. What was agreed was the heads of the scheme by government. And then we will, I suppose, when the legislation comes before us, we'll be able to see some of the details of that. My view is that the National Lottery is another outlet of gambling. Yes, it has positive impact.
10%. 10% of that 9.8 billion is the National Lottery.
Yes. Yeah. And I appreciate it has positive impact in the community and so on. But if you have a gambling addiction, if you're a young person that's being targeted, then the National Lottery shouldn't have a free pass. And so my view is that it should come within the expanse of this legislation.
Okay. And how do we control then, say, the likes of, you know, British television, which plays obviously in Irish television, which will have advertising, maybe not during the breaks because I know they can be localised, but, you know, during the matches where you will see advertising for Betway or Betfair or whatever it happens to be, it would be impossible, I suppose, to control that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I suppose we started this road with tobacco advertising, and you could see how long it took to fully remove the advertising of tobacco. And part of the issue is around how sport is funded, police sport is funded, and I think before we fully remove
it, we're losing a little bit, Paul. There, just move your head slightly. Sorry, we're losing a little bit there.
It'll be a long road before there's a full removal. But
yes.
I think that's where the Social Impact Fund actually is really key, because the Social Impact Fund can start the research into how the industry impacts people with an addiction. We can start to look at what impact a hoarding on the side of a pitch has versus, for example, much more aggressive forms of advertising on the phone, inducements. And it's really welcome that some of the free bet offers, which of course aren't free at all, you're paying for them in other ways, and the idea of VIP passes to events and so on. I think those sort of more aggressive forms or more interventionist forms of advertising are the ones we need to look at before we get to the kind of hoardings on the side of pitches. Although I think there is a case that the industry is advertising because they're getting a benefit. And we have to look at that.
Okay, in relation to the Social Impact Fund that you talk about and that John talked about a few minutes ago, it's getting the right advice if you do become an addict, of course, and having a fund there to support and help people who are addicts. I'm assuming that fund will come from a levy that will be placed on these online or gambling outlets. Is that the way it's formed?
That's the plan. And again, the details will follow. But I suppose what we want to see is the creation of a fund. And I particularly want to make sure that that's not a fund that is in any way an independent oversight, and that we really start to examine what gambling addiction is and we start to understand it more. There's been a lot of international research done. I'd love to see, given the high rates in Ireland, I'd love to see the particular aspects that are unique to Ireland examined as well. So, yes, it should support treatment and other interventions, but I'd also love to see if we can tackle the impact of gambling advertising, the impact of the industry itself, because these bodies have huge amounts of money at their disposal, but the reality is those people with addiction don't have that same backup or research. So that's why I think the Social Impact Fund should be both for treatment, intervention, community response, and also research.
I mean, I'm looking, you know, that €379 per man, woman and child in this country is gambled every single year, which is such an immense amount of money when you think about the population of the country and the fact that, you know, as I said, we're only behind Australia and Singapore when it comes to per capita, the amount of money that we spend in gambling. You'd imagine the Americans and other people would spend more than we do, but they don't. So it's clearly a big problem. 60% of it is online. And this is the biggest problem at the moment, that years ago you had to make the effort to walk to a bookies, you know, and put your slip in the door, whatever it was. So there was a bit of an effort involved in gambling. Now you've got kids at 15 and 16 lying on their beds betting on football matches. Or you've got kids as young as 10 on a PlayStation game. I know it starts very young, and I'm sure you're aware of it, Paul, with these loot boxes. So it's kind of weaning them into gambling at a very, very young age. Are we going to tackle this online aspect of gambling? Because many people are saying it's a scourge in society.
Yeah, look, and regulating gambling is nothing. Restricting its attractiveness for, you know, since booking shops were open, you can see the, you know, betting shops have to have their windows obscured, you know, you can't see in into them and so on. There's particular regulations around that. And so we need to bring all of those regulations which we've had to date, and I believe they should have been far stronger to date, to bring those into the online world as well. I do think that those...
We're losing you again, Paul. Sorry, go ahead. You do think those what?
Yeah, those inducements, the free bets and so on, they're the things we need to tackle because, you know, in the privacy of your phone, lots of things can happen. And if you are in a very dark place with an addiction, and I heard a gentleman before you speaking, and, you know, you can be really, really vulnerable. And when that ping comes on your phone and you open the email with the offer, that's like, for that person with the addiction, that's like the drug dealer knocking on their door.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be very hard for people that don't have an addiction to understand that and to understand why we're taking this move. And they say, but sure, I get a free bet every week. What harm is that? But the answer is the harm is not to you. The harm is to that vulnerable person that's not able to say no. And, you know, we will be accused of being a nanny state here and so on. But I think the point is that we're stepping in to try and protect people.
By the way, somebody's just texted and said, will bingo be included? Is bingo classed as gambling?
I don't know. Again, something for it to be clarified in the legislative process. I suppose if you speak to people, addiction counsellors and so on, what they will say is that, and it's the same in the area of drug addiction or drink addiction, people will often find the outlet in another way. It's going to be impossible to close off every outlet.
No,
So I think what we need to do is focus on the proposals that are before us, and let's get these right. You know.
Okay. And when do you think this legislation will be through? I know it's been approved by government already, but when will the legislation be signed? Oh, I've lost you again. Sorry, unfortunately, wherever
Minister
you are.
James.
Go ahead.
Minister James Brown has been very strong in terms of trying to push it through. Jim O'Callaghan, I suppose, is on his back because Jim had originally crafted some of this legislation. So it is a priority for Fianna Fáil and for government, and we want to see it happen as quickly as possible.
All right, okay. All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed. Paul McCall of Fianna Fáil TD, I appreciate you coming on the air. I don't know whether John is still there or not. John, are you still there?
I am indeed, yeah.
Sorry, John, you've been listening to Paul McCall up there in relation to the legislation. Look, there's always more we can do. But in saying that, you know, I suppose it's something, as you said.
No, like, I genuinely am. Like, it's a start. And as you said, like, as we go along the journey in it, we're going to figure out how to do it better. But it definitely is a good start. Like, the inducement, like the exclusion register. Like, currently, you can exclude yourself from a bookies, but you can easily reverse that.
Yeah.
This will be a regulatory authority in charge of all bookies at the same time. So if you're on that exclusion register, you're on it. And it's for every bookie, because you'll find a way. Like, on the
I don't know much about it because I've never ventured into a job, but people talk to me about setting limits, for example. You can set a limit for yourself. But in saying that, you can just change the limit if you want to. So that kind of all seems a bit pointless, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, I getting them pings on your phone and stuff like that, you can easily change all of them. Obviously, some incentivize it now to set up a limit, but, like, it changes, you know. It can change, and you're going to find somewhere else to go do it anyway. I remember, like, 2 years ago, 9 years after I stopped gambling, I got an email from a bookie that I obviously had forgot, or saying, you know, we haven't seen you in a while. Here's a free bet. 9 years after I'd received something.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. So, like, I think with those free bets and them inducements and the exclusion rate, it's a really, really good start. And, like, I'm delighted to see, because all of them little bullet points of what's going to be included, I can relate to some part of that and go, that's really good because I remember this, you know. So where, and I always say, for people who might be upset about the regulations who just have a normal bet. Like, my family can all go about and have a normal bet, and I don't judge them for it, but I'm a compulsive gambler. And I know I need to watch myself and all these things. And
because once you start, you won't stop. That's your problem.
Yeah,
of course,
unfortunately, yeah. It doesn't matter who you are. If you have an addiction, you can be the king or queen. Like, it doesn't matter what your situation. Anyone can have an addiction, and you need to really a lot of these measures are to help and protect those people. But they're not going to affect people who can go about their day and have a bet normally. Like, you know, God be good to them people. I think these regulations will really go far away.
Do you believe the regulations should include the National Lottery as well? Now, the argument is the National Lottery funds a lot of sporting events and sporting, for children, etc., and other things that it funds. Now, don't get me wrong, there's profit being made in it too. But do you believe the National Lottery should come under these guidelines too? Because it is gambling.
Yeah, I that's probably one where I'm unsure, but I was laughing there when someone asked about bingo, and I was like, if when I was in the midst of gambling, if I was blocked off from somewhere else, I wouldn't be getting my buzz from bingo. Like, it's not really somewhere you get the buzz. Like, I haven't thought too much about the National Lottery. I do see Paul's point there that it should be included because it is a form of gambling. Yes, it does. A big bookie could turn around next year and say, okay, well, in line with National Lottery, what we're going to do then is give a lot of our profits to, we're not going to have these regulations, we're going to give a lot of our profits to charity as well, so we can just fall in line with National Lottery. So what's the difference there if that's what they do? Then you can't regulate them. I don't think you can.
I know people who are addicted to the lottery and spend way too much money on it.
I think it has to, and obviously these are things that are going to be learned along the line, but people, if you're a problematic gambler, you're going to find a way to gamble.
Yeah.
And if these rules only apply to, I would have bet on anything when I was gambling. So if these rules apply and they're holding me back in certain areas, I'm going to find, if the National Lottery and there's draws on every day, I'm going to go to town on that.
There's some outlet just to get that buzz. I get it. But listen, John, I appreciate you coming on the air, and I really do appreciate your honesty. And if even your words help one person to maybe seek a little bit of help, it'll be good. And continued good luck and success, by the way, to yourself going forward.
Cheers, man.
And staying away from it. All right, thanks. Let me go to Frank as well. Frank, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm very well myself.
Good. Frank, now, your mother used to gamble.
Yes, correct. She actually became quite an avid gambler going along the addiction rule, addiction side of things, where me and my sister would be dragged along to the casino, wandering out the outside while she would go in, dropping a couple of hundred on the machines, and we would spend literally 6 to 8 hours at the casino while she was gambling away, yeah.
And what was she doing, the one-armed bandits?
she was on the slot machines and all of that type of thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Isn't that what they used to call them years ago? One arm bandits. I don't know what they call it because of the one arm. Yeah. Anyway, so and she'd drop a couple of hundred every time she'd go in.
Correct. Yeah. And then it got to the point where actually my sister's a couple of years older than me, and we sat her down the one day, and thankfully she listened to her kids, where we said, look, we can't be doing this. We stuck at the casino with you 6 hours to 12 hours over a weekend, and we'd be wandering around there. She would give us, let's say, a 20, and that would go sort us out in the arcade for 10 minutes and maybe get us a hot dog. But then for the next 5.5 hours, you can't reach her because she's inside the casino. And then we'd just kind of be sat there waiting around. So we told her this, and she actually caught a bit of an awakening, if I could call
she
it
had
that.
An epiphany, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And now she still gambles to the day, but she found a way around her addiction. So she started budgeting her gambling, where she would say, okay, look, you know what, I've got 200 for the month, or 100 for the month for whatever sakes there. And
yeah,
she would go to the machines, and she stopped taking me and my sister over to the casinos. And she would go, if she lost her 100, well, then that was it. She would stand up, she would leave, the bank card would be left at home, the purse would be left at home. So she would go with what her budget was for the day. And then it would be a case of, well, if she won, she would take her 100 back, pop it in the pockets, and then she would carry on playing with her winnings.
And did she ever win much, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, one day she came home, she won like 50 grand in the casino.
No.
Yeah, yeah, and but you know how it normally goes.
Well, yeah, I've just won 50 grand. Yeah,
put it back in. You know, I can turn this 50 into 100. I can turn that 100 into 200. But by the time you walk out, that 50 grand has become a grand.
Yeah,
and
I can't believe she actually won 50,000 in the casinos.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. She won it on one of the big jackpots.
Okay, that's crazy. Yeah. And so instead of going home and saying, we've got 50 grand, I'm going to stop now and get a new kitchen and get the house sorted out and bring yous off on a nice holiday, she'd be straight back down the next day to see how quickly she could get rid of the 50 grand.
Exactly. Chasing that winning feeling, if I could put it that way.
And I often wonder, because when somebody wins 50 grand or 100 grand or whatever it is, and then they continue to gamble, I'm saying, what are they looking for? Are they looking for the million? Are they looking for the billion? I mean, where does it stop? If you get the billion, will you want 10 billion? There's never enough, really, is there?
There's never enough. And I mean, I think it's not exactly the money that people are going for. That's that feeling, that rush of, I've just won this. I can win more. I'm going to win more. And then that's where the problem starts. They start chasing the feeling. And then when they start losing money, well, now I've got to flog my watch. I've got to flog my car, or you know, just one more bet. It's always one more bet.
And it is a genuine feeling for those people, because I believe scientifically they explain it about dopamine and all different sort of serotonins and things in your brain. So it does give you an actual rush, like drugs, I suppose, when you get that win, which is rare, because generally speaking, people don't win; they lose. They lose everything. It's rare. And even if they do win, as you said, they put it back in again. Do you think this new legislation that will ban the advertising, you know, before 9 o'clock at night, you know, does it go far enough, do you think?
Look, I reckon that could definitely help the situation, because I remember myself at the age of 16, 17, you see all these poker tournaments, the Texas Hold'em tournaments, blackjack, roulette, and it seems very exciting. I mean, still to this day, I'll play some Texas Hold'em with my friends and all that, but I'll never go into the casinos.
Yeah.
But even if I'm playing with my friends and I win that 100, you know, that excitement is still there.
Yeah.
But at the young age, I mean, 17, I was sat with my mates at a braai. Yeah, let's play some poker. Let's play some blackjack.
Yeah.
I've got my 50 rand pocket money here. Well, that's what I'm going to use. Meanwhile, I can use that 50 rand for my skateboard or something like that. No. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to use it to play against my friends in blackjack, and I never won.
Maybe you just weren't good.
No, I was terrible at it.
Okay, so I do think the ban on advertising, well, at least children won't get to see the advertising, which is important.
Exactly.
And as somebody rightly, as John pointed earlier on, maybe we won't see the effects of these kind of legislation for another generation, because it'll take time for it to take effect. But listen, thank you, Frank, and I appreciate you coming on and talking about your mum, by the way. As much as you love her dearly, she had a problem.
And now she's still the best woman in my life.
Absolutely.
Other than the wife.
Thank you, Frank, and I appreciate you coming on the air. Okay, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Maybe you've had a problem. And how do you feel about this legislation? Is it enough? You know, I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I believe online gambling should be just banned altogether. 60% of the gambling that's done is online. Very bit, little of it is actually now in betting shops. You know, 15% is on betting on sports. Lottery is 10%. Gambling machine is 10%. Casinos is only 5%. We don't have a big problem with casinos in this country, generally speaking. So should online gambling be banned? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. All right, let me go to David. David, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio. How are you, David?
Not too bad. Neil, yourself?
Good, good. Now, you're 2 years gambling free. Well done. Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks a million.
Okay, but you kind of did have a problem between 18 and 36 years of age. So
let's
go back to 18 years of age. That's I think, is the more interesting part of this. It's how you get enticed or induced into, I suppose, the rush that you get from gambling. And can you remember your first bet?
Yeah, well, like I live in a town that is sort of racing towns, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
The Curragh of Kildare is, the Curragh racecourse is literally a stone throw from where I live, you know?
Yeah.
And like friends of mine would have walked the horses, but and I'd go into the bookies with them, and I'd start out having the little, small little fiver bets.
Because they were giving you all the sure thing tips, weren't they?
Yeah, the little fiver bets, and then it grew and grew to where you're putting on tenors, twenties, fifties, hundreds.
Mm.
You get to the stage where when you lose your 50, you have to get that back. You're chasing that money, and you keep going and keep going. And when you lose the next one, you have to get that back.
And you'll spend 500 to get 50 back.
Yeah, you're chasing yourself all the time, and there was many a times when I walked out the door, not a penny in the pocket, and swore to myself, I'm never going in again. Then the next day, you're back in there again. It's just...
And where would you get the money the next day? This is the problem. Where do
you'd be borrowing money. You'd be... You know, that sort of way.
Yeah,
you'd be
yeah.
borrowing for a bet, you know, or one of the boys sends you a tip, you ring your mother, "Mammy, have you got a loan? I need to go in. I need money." She give you the money. You go.
And
in.
Would you? And be honest now. Would you lie to your mother about what you wanted the money for?
Oh yeah, wouldn't tell her the real reason because you wouldn't get it if you told her the real reason.
No.
To be honest with you.
And I mean, were you single at the time or were you married?
Yeah,
or?
Like single at the time, and then like up to more recently, I've a new partner the last 5 years, and she didn't really know. I hid it fairly well that I was gambling, and when she did find out, she was the one that really pushed me to give it up, and I did, you know, that sort of way.
Well, it was either her or the gambling, one or the other.
That
has to come down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you just can't do it. It's not fair on the people you live with.
No.
And when you say she found out, how did she not realise when she was seeing the fact that you were skint all the time? How did you not realise it before that? Or did she have suspicions?
I'd say she'd have suspicions. But, like, when I did have a win, you know what I mean? I'd make sure I gave her a good bit of it, you know, that sort of
thing. Or you go on a weekend away or something like that. Yeah, you'd use...
Yeah, do something nice over and then... Go in the next day, but that'd hide the fact, she'd think he was saving up for the trip, or he's saving up for the day out, or, you know, that sort of way.
And what was the worst moment in those kind of, in all those kind of 18 years, what was the worst moment, or the moment when you hit rock bottom? Can you remember that moment?
Like, I have kids and stuff like that, and every week, regardless of anything else, regardless of how much I gambled, I always made sure that I paid my bills and gave the money for the kids, like towards the kids, towards the shopping and all that. And then I gamble what's left, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But if anything extra come up, or you might not have the money then because it was gone.
That's it. Like if I got a phone call saying, "Oh well, the kids need such and such," I'd have to wait until the next payday comes around to get that. I'd say, "Oh, you may leave it with me." Even though I would have had the money if I just didn't go into the bookies, you know, sort of way.
And what was the last bet 2 years ago? Can you remember?
The last time I went into the bookies, I left my partner and I had about 600 in my pocket.
Wow.
And I rang her. I'd say 60 minutes didn't pass by, and I rang her and thought it was all gone.
In 60 minutes?
In 60 minutes. In the bookies, there's bets,
And was that 600 quid for something? Was it for the mortgage or the rent or something else?
No, like that was just to keep me going, like, you know what I mean, till the next payday comes around. Like, it was a bit I had saved up as well, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hadn't done a bet for a few weeks, and then I went in that day, and I left there, and I sat there and I, in the car, and I said to myself, "You've done it again. You keep doing it again and again and again." And to be honest with you, I had a good cry to myself.
A good chat with yourself, which I'm sure you've had many times.
A good cry. Yeah. And I said, "That's it, I'm never doing it again." I went home and I told the partner, I said, "I'm never doing it again. I'm never going in again. I promise, I'm never going in again." And since that day, I haven't looked back.
And is it hard to, you know, to be an ex-gambler, I suppose that is a good word to use. Is it hard?
It is tough at times because, like, I still do be in, like, I play a bit of football now as well. And stuff like that, and I'm in groups where they put in tips every week, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, usually I jump on the tips when I was gambling, but now it doesn't bother me anymore.
And do the lads all know not to ask you anymore? Listen, do you want to go into a lottery syndicate that we're doing this weekend or whatever? Yeah. Do they all know not to say that?
There's a good few that have often said to me, "Oh, do you want to buy a ticket, or do you want to buy this into a deal?" And I say, "No, listen, but I'll throw the money in anyway." And that's just like
for the charity or whatever it is.
Charity or whatever. I throw it in. I say, "That's it. I just don't want to take it because."
Yeah. Because it'll just take you back down that road again. Do you think this legislation next year is going to make a difference? Because the advertising is quite glamorous. And as much as I don't bet, but I see the advertising on TV with the Fox and Anton Deck and all those kind of celebrities but they use for the advertising.
It's a step in the right direction. It is a step in the right direction. Well, I work every day, but on my way home, I pass a few bookies on the way home, and I still see the same people outside, standing outside the bookies that would have been in there when I was in there.
Yeah.
And, I do meet some of them in the shops and say, I never see you in the bookies anymore. They said, that's because I don't gamble anymore.
And did the online gambling, was that ever a thing for you?
I never really was into the online gambling. I did gamble online once when it was coming up to Cheltenham, and they said, if you lodge adding up the €50, they'll match it with a €50 free bet.
So they were giving a free bet, yeah.
Yeah. So then sort of enticed me to open an account, and I opened an account, but to be honest with you, I didn't use it. I don't lodge that, or I don't link that into bank cards or anything like that, because, you know what I mean, I didn't do that. I always went into the shop, and that was
okay.
The
just because I've literally got a couple of minutes here, but if you could give advice, if there's people listening all over the country, and I'm sure many of them, David, are sitting there, men and women, who are going, I'm David. I know exactly what David was thinking at the time because I'm in that position. What advice, if you were just to say one thing to them, what advice would you give them?
There's more to life. There's more to life than that. Than the gambling. There's more out there for you than gambling. You can get a buzz off other things.
Yeah.
I'm 38 years of age playing football, over 35 football, and I'm enjoying that. I've taken up golf.
Something that, where you actually get value for the money you're spending. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually doing something that, and I get a kick out of that more so than I did in the bookies.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
You get a kick when you're winning, but when you're losing, it's a sad feeling, and it is a sad feeling. I used to think my car was pre-programmed to stop outside the bookies, and that's the truth.
You know, and probably at that stage, with some of the modern cars, it probably knew where it was going, to be honest with you.
That's it.
Yeah. David, listen, thank you very much indeed for sharing your experience. It's really important. Listen, thank you very much indeed for coming on the air.
Thank you, Niall. Thank you.
There you go, David, ex-gambler, off of 2 years now, 18 to 36 years of age. He was gambling, and you heard him. 600 quid in a few minutes. Gone. Less than an hour. That's how easy it is. Do you think this legislation goes far enough? And by the way, again, I'm asking, should we ban online gambling? The majority of people are actually saying, yes, we should. Oh, let me go to Mary. Mary, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you, Mary?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Now, your dad was a gambling addict.
My dad was a very, very bad gambler, in his day.
Okay.
Very bad.
And when you say very bad, I mean, to what point to spending every bean the family had?
I mean, you know, went from having everything to having absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Like lost his house, lost his family, all of us as children as well. So.
Oh my! Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that. Such a devastating effect, and it can gambling, like drinking, like drugs, like everything else, can have a devastating effect because money is needed.
An alcoholic and a gambler as well. So it's the two worst addictions you can possibly have.
Yeah, well, they do kind of go hand in hand sometimes, you know, to be honest with you. And when you say he gambled everything, literally what, the mortgage wasn't being paid and...
Yeah, like, he had a very, very kind of, let's say, a high-power job, if you will, in computers, for argument's sake. Earned an awful lot of money, but we never saw it. So he was living his high life in the bookies, and we were, you know, kind of pushed to one side, if you will.
Right, okay. Okay.
Oh,
that causes, of course, great resentment amongst the family as well and the family unit, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, it wasn't a good period in our lives anyway, especially, you know, we were quite young as children, so going back maybe, this was when I was 10, so maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and then I obviously went out into the working world myself because, you know, after one of your parents is a gambler, you kind of have to start making your own money and stuff, and then eventually I actually wanted to understand the gambling addiction myself.
And do you understand it?
I understand it now, and the only reason I understand it is because, ironically, I actually got a job in a bookmaker's myself because I wanted to understand.
Okay.
And see it from the person who's on the other side of the counter.
And when you got that job and understood it, and understood why the addict felt the way they did, do you think differently of your father then?
I do, yeah, 100%. Like, you know, you grow up resenting what happened and, you know, going from having obviously everything to having nothing. But then you really, you know, you really get to see it when you do work on the other side of the counter. And, you know, I say this to people all the time when they ask me about it. I'm like, You can see the best of the best, you know, for say on Cheltenham for Gold Cup Day, for argument's sake, the crack that, you know, that you have with your regulars is great. You know, everyone's in great form, blah, blah, blah. But then you see the worst of the worst when they all start to lose. You know, and
was there a point when you worked there? I mean, I've always said this to people who worked in bookies, but was there a point when you worked there where somebody was coming in and you knew they were spending their, you know, their mortgage or their rent or their dole money? Or
oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
And where you, I mean, did you ever feel like saying to them, listen, I'm not taking you back. Go on, get out of the shop.
I did say that. I have to be honest now. I said that a good few times to a lot of what we would call regulars. You know, you'd know the day specifically that they'd either get, obviously, their social welfare or they get paid or whatever. You know, they'd come in for 4 hours when their shift is over, and by the time the 4 hours were up, their wages for the week or the month would be gone.
I know.
You know, I've seen people spend thousands in 5-10 minutes. I've seen people, you know, I've seen wives come in, you know, and drag their husbands out by the scruff of the neck. I'll never forget one wife came in and handed her husband the divorce papers in the middle of the bookie.
Oh, no.
I'll never forget that.
And because of his gambling addiction.
Probably. Constantly gambling in. You know, we would say start at like 9:30 in the morning. We'd come in to open up and, you know, put up the papers and whatever. And there'd be people, your regular customers, that would be in there for 12 hours. They'd be standing outside the door waiting for 10 o'clock for you to open. And they wouldn't leave until you called last bit. Not to go to the toilet, not for a bottle of water, nothing.
That's how obsessed they were with it. And as one of our callers, I think it was David, said earlier on, it's that when you lose the 50 quid, it's trying to win the 50 quid back. You could spend 600 trying to win the 50 quid back.
Spend eternity trying to win it back. But like probably the worst story I ever had was, I remember it was a Christmas Eve and we used to only work for sailing.
Just say that again. I just dumped that a little bit there. Just so a father basically came in with some money that he needed for Christmas for children.
For the big man. And he said to me, oh, this is my money, blah, 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 and told me what it was for. And in my head, I was, like, on the inside, I was dying. I just wanted to scream at him.
And he wanted you want to cry, really, wouldn't even
honestly,
thinking about
and
it.
I'll never forget, and I looked at his face, and he wrote the docket, and he handed it to me, and I refused to put it on. You know, and he effed, and he blinded at me, and he called me every name under the sun, and I was like, I couldn't live with myself knowing that certain people on Christmas morning won't have
We'll be disappointed, yeah.
And I remember I didn't put the bet on the horse lost, and then he shook my hand after and wished me a happy Christmas, and out he went.
And there was a man on the air about 4 or 5 years ago, I remember talking to him, a similar situation, but he was so bad that on Christmas Day, when the kids went to bed on Christmas night, not Christmas Eve, the toys that Santa Claus had brought them for Christmas, he took and he sold the next day just so he could put a bet on.
But like,
that's terrible. Like, when you think about how desperate somebody must be to do that,
it's horrendous. It really is. But like, you know, I do have certain sympathies for a certain level of gambling addiction. Obviously, having gone through it myself with my father, and then, you know, seeing it from the other side of the counter. But like, it is quite a horrific addiction. And
absolutely.
Sometimes, you know, the people that are, in my opinion, putting the money on, they don't realize how bad their addiction is until the person on the other side of the counter refuses to serve them. Or tells them they need to take a break.
It's like same as the drinker. You know, he won't realise how bad he is until the barman says no more. Listen, Mary, I've run out of time, but it's been lovely talking to you. And thank you very much indeed for sharing your experience with us. It's really important. Thank you to everybody who got involved in that topic.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.